For over 28 years, Aflac has been a champion, donating over $168 million to fight pediatric cancer and blood disorders, including sickle cell disease. This December, Aflac proudly joins 97.1 Wash FM and Children's National Hospital for the annual Wash for Kids Radiothon. Mark your calendars for December 14th and 15th for a heartwarming 14-hour live broadcast where you can join Aflac in their efforts to support the miracle work happening at Children's National. Save the date, tune in, and be a part of something extraordinary with Aflac.
You've tuned in, now you're going to get turned on to The Geek Show. I'm Quentin Flynn. People know me as Axel, who says, got it memorized? You should. The Geek Show. It rocks.
Hello and welcome to another week's edition of The Geek Show. Technically, it's about science and technology. Reality, not so simple. Anyway, I am Rob, and this week, as ever, I've been joined by my co-host, who's also called Rob.
Yes. But one of us shouldn't be called Rob today, should we?
No. I mean, I think it's my turn to adopt the pseudonym. And the pseudonym which I've got for this week is Bruce P. Gigabyte from the Great Gigabyte family.
Oh, there's a story here, isn't there?
Well, not much of a story, but he's serving multiple consecutive life sentences for doing something unspeakable with a bike seat.
So, this is podcasting from a... Is it a virtual prison cell then?
Yeah, it's in a prison cell. Deep, deep in the Forgotten Wing. Which somehow feels like it's in the 17th century, but also has Wi-Fi, so it's convenient.
Yes. Oh, right. Bruce, how are you?
I'm serving consecutive life sentences. How do you think I am?
All right, okay. Well, given that you're serving consecutive life sentences, our first news story is weirdly... I suppose, kind of appropriate. And it's literally a story from today, right? This is literally something that has happened within the last few hours, right? Today, for the first time ever, scientists have released the first ever captured image. Not artistic image, not doctored image based on radio waves or anything like that, but first ever actual image of a black hole.
I know I'm sure you're more impressed, but it's literally just a black hole.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not a small black hole. They're basically calling it a monster. The scientist who proposed the experiment, it's Professor Hanno Falk of the Radboud University in the Netherlands. He has explained that the black hole was found in a galaxy called M87, and it has a mass of 6.5 billion times that of the Sun, and it is one of the heaviest black holes that scientists think exists. And you're talking about something that is basically a monster.
I'm not sure how I should react to this. I'm not sure whether I should say, oh, cool, or, we're all going to die.
Well, given that it's... they're saying it's nowhere near planet Earth. It's a long, 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 long way away. But
light years away.
Well, not even in terms of light years, but just in terms of pure distance. I think it was something like 5 billion kilometers away. No, 500 million trillion kilometers away.
Ah, so it's near Plymouth then.
And it was photographed by a network of 8 telescopes from around the world. And the black hole itself is about 40 billion kilometers across.
Okay.
Now you imagine, you look up into space and you're trying to see a black dot.
Easy, I just look at a light for a really long time beforehand, like put my light switch on, just stare at it intently, and then look out in the window, there you go, black holes everywhere. But yeah, that's not strictly true, that's like a burn retina. But...
I know, I wasn't commenting. All I'm saying is, it's a bit of a major achievement. Okay, it might not be a major achievement to everybody, but... And yeah, it was only a matter of time until we actually got our first actual image of a black hole. But it's one thing having visual proof of something. It's another thing to just have like all of the evidence, but still no one's actually seen it. It's like, say, Bigfoot. If Bigfoot actually existed, it's one thing to have like the hair of Bigfoot and the footprints of Bigfoot and all those other things about Bigfoot. The only reason Bigfoot popped into my head is because of that movie with I forgot his name. A guy with a mustache.
Sam Elliott,
because that movie was Sam Elliott.
A Man Who Killed Hitler and then Bigfoot 2, which is absolute dog crud.
Yeah, I didn't.
Sorry, if you're waiting on that.
I didn't understand that movie.
It's not really much of anything, though. I mean, I don't want to downplay what scientists have discovered, but they've got a picture of something.
Yeah, they have got a picture of something.
I think the actual major discovery for black holes is not having a picture of it. It's actually having some sort of hard scientific proof. Like, for example, sending something into a black hole.
Yeah, but...
Like a probe of some sort. That would be where you start getting something significant. But taking a picture of something isn't... I'm downplaying it quite a lot here, but it's because I'm so very unimpressed.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, for the first time ever, we get to see what a black hole actually... Well, we get to see a real black hole. It's not something
that's... Let me guess, it's black and it's a hole?
Yeah.
How could I have guessed that?
It's basically... It's not really... Oh, how do I say this?
Yeah. It's a major scientific discovery, but this is a crude way of saying it, but it's Schrodinger's black hole, isn't it?
I don't know how to respond to that. It's a brilliant physics joke, but... Okay. Yeah, speaking of black holes, that other black hole, which is the internet, the one that is more relevant to everybody, the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport is planning an independent internet watchdog to keep an eye on tech and social media companies and to make sure that they toe the line and don't allow any unscrupulous or unsavory elements to infest or invade their applications, platforms, devices, whatever you want to do. If they don't, they'll find themselves sanctioned, potentially with fines or even bans, with the chief executives, people like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, those sorts of fellows, being held personally responsible for big problems like data breaches.
Yeah, I mean, in principle, this is a fine idea.
Yeah.
In principle, sort of attacking the major social networking outlets, for example, which have basically allowed for a generation of youngsters to feel more isolated, to feel more threatened, to feel more depressed and targeted than any other generation before them in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
In theory.
Yeah. The problem is you have... My main problem with this is that you have a bunch of politicians who really don't understand the internet trying to set up rules for the internet.
I think my problem's even more basic than that. It's the legal teams which these outlets have.
Yeah.
Means that fundamentally nothing will really happen to them. And the only people who will end up getting punished are the small people on the internet, the small outlets, the small people sort of taking a chance to do something on the digital world.
Yeah. I mean, it will stifle creativity, it will stifle business, it will stifle a lot of things. But that then comes from the fact that you have people who don't understand the internet making rules for the internet. It's basically like, say, you wanted to make rules for, simplest term, it's like having a history graduate be the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Well, that has happened.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I mean. They've got no financial...
The internet, I think Tories and the internet are very separate things. I follow a Twitter account called Absurd Conserva Memes, which basically is all, it's an American political thing, but all the incredibly bad memes that the conservatives do in that country to be funny, and it's just so incredibly opposite of what funny is. I mean, if you introduced something as old as the UK Tory party to this modern internet, I think it'd be like Scanners.
Everyone's head's exploding.
Yeah. Basically.
Oh.
Just meaty pulp all over lunch at Westminster.
That's basically what's all over Westminster right now anyway. They're called politicians.
Yeah, meaty pulp. Won't get any more political than that, though, because, yeah, try to keep this show apolitical, which is very hard in today's world, but we try and keep it apolitical.
Yeah. The problem that I've got with this is that... various companies like Facebook and that, they tried to do self-regulation, which failed. And that's, again, because they're doing it from top-down perspective, right? If you look at something like Wikipedia, for example, Wikipedia is an enormous repository of knowledge. And yes, okay, we know all the stories about how Wikipedia entries can be modified or changed or anything like that. But what they have on hand, any change that happens has to get vetted by somebody else, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very good at self-regulating.
And all I'm saying is, the reason why Wikipedia is so good at that is because instead of trying to do it top-down, they decided to do regulation from the bottom up. So people who were basically making changes to the entries were people who were just volunteering information to Wikipedia in the first place. And so they then became editors for Wikipedia. And so they could then... Do you see what I mean? They could then go on...
Yeah, I mean,
on...
it's a very easy process to understand the... I mean, if you want to regulate Facebook or Twitter, what you want to do is have that report button there, not block, because somebody said something that's offensive or whatnot. Have a report button in which somebody has infringed on some sort of value.
Yeah.
And have it need to... if you sign up to, say a beta system, so if you want to be one of the sort of whatever of Twitter... you have like a certain number of people on this system, and if somebody clicks report, it needs to pass a certain amount of ticks before it's cancelled or banned or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a fairly basic principle. I mean, you need more people for it than Wikipedia does because it's bigger outlets.
But that's the thing. I'm sure there are people... I mean, people volunteer to become forum mods and stuff like that.
It's basically all it is. It's like a forum mod, but over a wider platform, really.
Yeah. And that's what I don't understand, is why that hasn't been in place on all these platforms from the very beginning. Because it really should have been, shouldn't it?
Like on Facebook, the groups moderate themselves really well.
Yeah. And if groups can moderate themselves on Facebook really well, why hasn't Facebook made that available to everybody? Because I'm sure, look, it's common sense. People inherently, they're not evil. People don't really, for the most part, most people don't treat each other that badly.
It's what happens when you've got a giant multinational that's run by Rimmer.
He's not more reliable than a garden strimmer.
No, he's not.
And
Mark Zuckerberg isn't anyway.
All I'm saying is that people...
seriously though, he does look like Rimmer.
Yeah, I know. Basically what was going on in my head was he's Arnold Rimmer. So, yeah.
It's a heavy subject, and one which I don't think is going to be going anywhere anytime soon, but...
Yeah, I worry about this sort of thing, though, because it's the first step in the internet becoming this place where we aren't allowed to say what we think, and...
I can see it from both sides. I mean, on the one hand, the internet has kind of been open for anybody to be whoever they want to be, but at the same time, that's as bad as it is good.
Yeah.
It's, I think, personally, the age of what the internet being sort of a wild west needs to end.
Yeah, but
I also don't think this is the way to do it.
I agree, but the thing is, like the wild west, people became more civilized. People grew up, right?
That's not seeming to happen on the internet, though, is it really? Let's be fair.
No, it is. That's the thing. It is actually happening. It's just what you see in the news is basically the minority of what's happening on the internet. In a lot of places on the internet, people are actually maturing quite well. People are actually becoming more used to it. Remember, the internet suddenly appeared, and all of a sudden there's global telecommunication all over the world. Everyone can talk to everyone else. And in that mix, you've got developed countries who are more capable of dealing with the internet, mixing with underdeveloped countries and third world countries, who most of them are not very well educated in the first place. And so you have this massive mix of humanity, and it takes some time for all of that to kind of balance out. And if you let people do it themselves, eventually they do balance out. Politicians, internet companies, whatever, they can make all the rules and regulations that they want, but at the end of the day, the sheer mass of humanity isn't going to be controlled by a few small regulations from a single country.
Nah. Anyhow, moving on. That's a good point to jump off that.
Yep. Anyway, moving on to YouTube.
Speaking of masses of humanity, yeah.
Exactly. You remember Netflix did that Choose Your Own Adventure type Black Mirror episode, Bandersnatch?
Yeah.
And then
sounds really rude, though, doesn't it, Bandersnatch?
Yeah, I know. And then they did They basically announced, Netflix have also announced that they're going to do a Bear Grylls Choose Your Own Adventure thing, which sounds a bit odd to me. But anyway, YouTube has announced that it also has plans for Choose Your Own Adventure shows. What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, the problem I have with Choose Your Own Adventure is it's taken the writers, writing as a craft.
Yeah.
And you're putting it in the hands of people who have no sort of notion of how a story unfolds.
Welcome to the world of fan fiction and self-publishing.
Stories. I mean, this is a problem, you know. I mean, just because everybody can do something doesn't mean that everybody should. And to me, Choose Your Own Adventure is the absolute pinnacle of the idea that, you know, anything goes and anybody can do anything. It should be a bit more controlled. There should be some sort of gatekeeper. I don't like using that term in the internet sense because, you know, people kind of go a bit fascist future police state with it. But at the same time, there needs to be some sort of divide between I'm just doing this for fun and the industry, because right now there is no divide and there's an awful lot of out there because of it.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that Choose Your Own Adventure, it's kind of it's basically what you'd expect a lonely child in the 1980s who's heavily into fantasy but really doesn't have many friends to play tabletop RPGs with would resort to.
It's just such a pointless thing. I just never understood them.
Well, that's my point. Choose Your Own Adventure is basically something that is very 1980s, not very, you know, almost 2020s, is it?
Yeah, it was like 1950s to 1990s. That was the halcyon days of the Choose Your Own Adventure novel.
Yeah, and then we got better computers and games consoles and actual proper dyed-in-the-wool role-playing games like The Witcher 3 and stuff like that.
It's like choosing Subutio when you've got all these like video games, though.
Exactly. Although I have to admit, Subutio is a bit of an exception rather than the rule, isn't it?
And all you've got with Subutio is really painful fingernails. You've got to flick everything, haven't you? But yeah, I can. Some of the things that are about on the internet, I can sympathise with or understand if I try. But Choose Your Own Adventures is just the most utterly idiotic thing.
Yeah.
And just because Black Mirror showed it. Because that has absolutely zero. I mean, I talk about this with the Bear Grylls one, but the fact that it's successful is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's successful because it was Black Mirror, and Black Mirror is like one of the most popular TV shows. I mean, we're talking about top 10 TV shows in the world right now.
Yeah.
So them two things are very isolated from each other.
Yeah, and I think Bear Grylls...
Black Mirror could basically bring back Scratch and Sniff in the whole world. Oh my God, Scratch and Sniff's so successful and so cool, let's all do it. No. It's because whatever the popular things do becomes popular because the popular things do it.
Yeah. I mean, the Bear Grylls one that they're planning, You versus Wild, I don't think that's going to be
decently popular, but...
Yeah, but it's Bear Grylls and it's You versus Wild. I don't think that's going to be very popular. I think people maybe watch one or two episodes then get bored of it. Oh, look, I can make Bear Grylls drink his own urine again.
Can I make him eat his own fecal matter?
I don't know.
And rub it on his face and go postal. Because if not, I'm not interested. This is what you get when you invite Bruce P. Gigabyte onto your show, Rob. Things get nuts.
Moving on.
Yeah, well, the point is there, though. Just because Black Mirror made it popular doesn't make it popular. Black Mirror is popular, so whatever it does is popular by, you know, proxy.
Yeah. Right. Moving on to China. Interesting thing about China is that sometimes they have a good idea.
Don't sound so surprised. That could come across as a bit racist.
I don't mean it in that way. What I mean is that, okay, yeah, I understand how that sounded. When I say a good idea, I mean with regards to something related to technology or science or something like that. And I don't
again, that's, you can't say that anymore because they are sort of the innovators of the mobile phone market.
I'm talking more about regulation.
Again, they've really tended that board there because they can't just copy do whatever they want now. Copy whatever they want. They're a lot more modern than they used to be, a lot more forward-thinking than they used to be, China. They've really came on strides. But yeah. Anyway, I'll let you finish.
I'll let you put away your little red book.
It's Bruce P. Gigabyte. He hasn't got a lot to do in this deep, dark dungeon of a prison.
All I'm saying is that China, when I say sometimes they have a great idea, I'm not trying to be condescending or anything like that, or offensive.
Oh, look who's got a good idea.
Yeah, it's more kind of, aw. China's had a great idea, though. They're actually thinking about banning the mining of cryptocurrencies because it's a stupid waste of energy.
I have no idea what that means.
Basically, what people do, you know Bitcoin?
Yeah, the thing which was really popular all of a sudden but had no real marketable value.
Yeah,
which has died again.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's still got a certain degree of value. But what China is saying, right, regulators in China are considering a ban on cryptocurrency mining as an undesirable economic activity. China's National Development and Reform Commission has published a new paper that includes a proposal to ban the mining of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin over the concerns that crypto mining is a waste of valuable resources, and I actually agree with them. I think mining of cryptocurrencies is what is a massive waste of energy. Do you know how they mine cryptocurrency?
Sending beavers out to do stuff?
No, by leaving computers with massively powerful graphics cards on all day and just leaving them to do whatever they're doing. That's it.
Oh.
You know when everybody's interested in their carbon footprint and stuff like that? And trying to save the planet so that we actually have a planet. Yeah? Cryptocurrency mining is kind of the opposite of that.
And who would have thought that China would be the ones that lead the way? Because their environmental history is pretty sketchy.
Yeah, I know. But maybe that's why they're trying to lead the way, because their environmental history is pretty sketchy and because, well, cities like Beijing have serious smog problems.
Well, a lot of major cities do around the world. It's not exclusive to like that part of the world.
Yeah, I know. But this is the thing. Cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, they're mined using specialized computers that sap a tremendous amount of energy. The energy consumption for mining cryptocurrencies now rivals the amount used by entire countries for normal operations.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Yeah, it's doing significant damage to the planet, so China is planning on banning it. And I agree. I mean, it's a stupid waste of time, energy, resources, everything like that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the rest of the world picks up on that and carries on with it.
Yeah. So, like I said,
cryptocurrency is kind of useless, really.
It's only
a currency with no consistent value.
Yeah.
And you can't use it, frankly. You can't go to the shop, like the corner shop, and get some bread with some cryptocurrency. It's kind of useless.
The thing is, there are certain places where you can use Bitcoin and stuff like that to pay for stuff, but I don't see the point when real money, it works just fine, and real money you can withdraw from a cash point.
Yeah, it's sort of dark web nonsense.
Yeah, it's kind of stuff that if you're into shady dealings, then probably you want to use cryptocurrencies. But anyway,
Assuming it's like non-traceable stuff.
Yeah, basically.
Internet currency, that's basically all it is.
Yeah, that's basically all it is. Anyway, dinosaur news for you. Because I know you like your dinosaurs. They've discovered a 42 million year old four-legged whale.
Must be tired.
You know what I mean. They discovered the fossil of a 42 million year old four-legged whale.
I was using that from a Chevy Chase material.
It's the ancestor of modern whales and dolphins, and
looks like a platypus.
It looks a bit like a platypus, but kind of a platypus with a long-nosed otter type thing, isn't it?
Like a scaly grey platypus.
But it's a weird animal. It's a weird looking animal, but they've confirmed that it is the ancestor of the modern whale and or modern whales and dolphins, and it was.
I'm not seeing any sort of commonality between the two.
I'm not either. I look at it and it reminds me of otters and platypuses, or platypi, I think maybe they're called.
That is the plural for them. Yeah.
But it's a bizarre looking animal, a bit like it's a bit like a crocodile. Now that I look at it.
I mean, the fact that apparently a lot of dinosaurs actually have a lot of bird DNA.
Yeah.
I don't think prehistoric... It's so long ago, it's almost irrelevant, isn't it, what they look like?
Yeah.
42 million years ago.
Yeah. But, I mean...
I mean, it makes the human species, who've only been dominant for a few thousand years, seem really, really small.
Yeah. I mean, it does add to my... I have a personal belief that dinosaurs evolved intelligence and left the planet.
Wow.
Well, think about it. Humans have been around for, what, a few hundred thousand years, maybe a million years?
Not a million years, but yeah, a while.
Okay. Whereas dinosaurs were around for how long?
A long time.
100, 200 million years?
Yeah, I mean, you don't stick around for that long without evolving into some sort of weird shape.
Yeah, exactly. So who's to say they didn't evolve intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, it always comes down to that sort of, they're looking at some bones and not exactly what something did 42 million years ago.
It's because...
I don't buy it. I mean, they could say whatever they want and they can't prove it, so... It's like QI. QI's got to the point where they can basically make up any old crap and people will believe them. I think it's the same with this sort of, it's kind of cryptozoology at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Make up whatever they want, and it's true. Ooh. I'm shaking my hands like jazz hands there.
All I'm going to say is, I look at this animal and I don't think it's a whale or a dolphin of any sort.
It just looks like somebody had the colour correct on wrong for a picture they were doing. And they were making a crocodile and made a bit of a mess of the feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Let's keep that.
Yeah, I mean, they reckon that whales and dolphins evolved from four-legged hooved animals that entered the water.
Like, see what I mean? They can just make up whatever crap they want and people will believe them.
Yep.
Cryptozoologists, that's what they should name them.
Anyway. Heading over to Russia.
Just to say, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that, but I'm saying that anyway.
Because you're Bruce P. Gigabyte.
Yeah, nobody tells him what to do.
Heading over to Russia, right? Russian social media giant VKontakte and online video subscription platform Mediateka have launched a unique experiment, basically as part of the marketing for Game of Thrones Series 8, right? And what they've done, they found somebody who had never watched Game of Thrones before.
Like me.
Yeah. And the project is called One More and I Sleep. And what they've done, they found a willing participant whose name is Andre, and he has never watched Game of Thrones before. And what they have him doing is sitting for 10 hours a day in a transparent glass cube and force him to watch Game of Thrones.
What's he getting for this?
Andrew. Yeah, he has to basically live in the glass box.
Yeah, no, but is he getting some sort of payment for this?
Well, he gets like a full beer fridge and everything like that, and he has to be in the glass box for the week before, like for a full week before Game of Thrones starts again. So
he had a really good reference here, but I've completely forgotten his name.
Andre.
No, I mean, he was the guy who, what's he called? He was in a box over the Thames in London.
Oh, you mean David...
David Blaine.
Yeah, that's him.
Bet you David Blaine hates Andre, doesn't he?
Well, David Blaine was just sitting in a box with nothing. Andre's got a couch, he's got TV, he's got a beer fridge and lights, he's got a duvet. And
David Blaine's really jealous. Like, wish I thought.
Yeah, Andrei Akimov, his full name is, and he's only allowed breaks from his week-long Game of Thrones binge to eat and sleep. He is required to watch a season per day, which takes him around 10 hours. He also receives occasional visits from star guests with whom he can converse about the popular series. The whole thing is broadcast 24/7, and Andre regularly shares his thoughts and emotions with viewers.
This is a bit... I mean, he's got to know something about Game of Thrones, because if he like watches the first episode and he thinks, this is crap... It's going to be torture for a guy, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if he watches the first episode and say, this is brilliant, bring it on. It's going to be a bit... That's what they're hoping for. I'm assuming it's some sort of social experiment to torture a person into liking something.
Oh, maybe it's just, you know, when that first scene when Emilia Clarke's got her kid off, he's going, she's naked! She's naked! How is she naked? What's going on?
How is she naked? Well, Rob, when a person's... maybe warm, maybe feeling a bit cold enough, just, and they do things.
I realise what I said.
I'm trying to keep it PC. No. Family friendly, but
It's difficult maybe when you're
she,
talking.
Maybe she really, really needed the toilet, and it's much better when you do it naked. Maybe that's what happened in that scene.
I'm not going to comment. Anyway, it was staying in Russia because a journal published by Russia's Ministry of Defense, and this is where we start going left field with the news. A journal published by Russia's Ministry of Defense has become the subject of mockery this week after publishing claims that Russian specialists have communicated with dolphins, crashed computer programs, and even looked into safes using the power of telepathy.
Oh, this is wonderful. This is the sort of thing that the 14 Times was made for.
Exactly.
And it's easy to mock, but I don't know, it's just a sense of wonder.
Yeah, but this thing is, this was a journal published by Russia's Ministry of Defense.
Oh, I don't care who it was published by. It's just the sense of wonder, isn't it? It's so hard to be sort of closed off to all sorts of magic possibilities and weird possibilities.
Yeah.
But to see something as officious and serious as Russia's Ministry of Defense, you couldn't get more officious and serious than that.
Exactly.
Believe in things like talking to dolphins, telepathy. That's kind of magical. I'm not going to tease that because it's just magical. It's wonderful. I love it.
Look, the February issue of Army Collection featured a story titled The Super Soldier of Future Wars. And in it, Reserve Colonel Nikolai Poroshkov detailed a variety of bizarre abilities related to parapsychology. And according to Poroshkov, Russian special forces in Chechnya employed these parapsychological techniques, which he elsewhere compared to superpowers.
I just love that sort of stuff, though, because it's just, I don't know.
This is an actual excerpt from the article. The uninitiated know little about this unique technology, but one aspect is clear. Telepathic contact. Russian specialists achieved it by working with dolphins. They mentally gave the animals commands that they performed. This was practiced by the famous animal trainer Durov. The technique, it turns out, is also applicable to humans. Moreover, it's even possible to affect technology. With an effort of thought, one can, for example, crash computer programs, burn crystals in generators, eavesdrop on a conversation, or interrupt television and radio transmission.
You know what it sounds like?
What?
You know all those adverts in the back of comic books you used to get where you could get like 3D, you know,
exactly.
X-ray specs.
Exactly.
And those adverts are the best thing in the world.
No.
And the fact that they're coming from the Russian Ministry of Defense. How could people mock this? This is so perfect.
It's just the best, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to poke fun at it, but at the same time, no, I just can't. I can't do that.
Shall I give you something you can poke fun at then?
If I can.
Yes, you can. You can. Elon Musk.
There's always the tellers, isn't there?
All right, Elon Musk. You know how Elon Musk is kind of, he's a futurist, but somehow he's also out of date at the same time?
Yes.
Well, Elon Musk has released a rap song.
What would his rap name be?
Oh, no. It gets better. It gets better than that. And also, tragically worse, Elon Musk has released a rap song about Harambe.
Is this like one of those things that it's like random internet generator?
Basically, yeah. It's like somebody put something into random internet generator and it came up with Elon Musk, Harambe, and rap. Elon Musk.
Just to complete it, he'd be a SoundCloud rapper.
It is on SoundCloud.
Oh yeah. You know, some things are beyond parody. And this is actually Elon Musk doing rapping.
Yeah, basically. It's like auto-tuned rap.
So it's auto-tuned, so it's not...
No, I said it's like, it sounds like auto-tuned rap. I had to listen to it earlier.
Is it like one of those things where like they auto-tune the news, or is it like literally something that Elon Musk has done?
Well, shall I play you a little bit? We will have to remove this for copyright purposes.
For over 28 years, Aflac has been a champion, donating over $168 million to fight pediatric cancer and blood disorders, including sickle cell disease. This December, Aflac proudly joins 97.1 WASH FM and Children's National Hospital for the annual WASH for Kids Radiothon. Mark your calendars for December 14th and 15th for a heartwarming 14-hour live broadcast where you can join Aflac in their efforts to support the miracle work happening at Children's National. Save the date, tune in, and be a part of something extraordinary with Aflac.
That's about all I can handle.
That wasn't rap, that was more like sort of cod reggae, cod soul, cod R&B.
Mixed with massive amounts of auto-tune.
Yeah. Yeah, you know when someone becomes so successful?
Yeah.
And so rich and so powerful, they basically lose the mind.
Yeah, I think Elon Musk's descent into the dark side is almost complete.
Yeah, he's basically like that character from Thor in the Marvel comics who basically ends up becoming a Minotaur.
Well, not only that, I mean, he's obsessed with stuff that's happened in the past, a bit like Darth Vader, and...
It's Roxton, isn't it, in the Marvel comics?
Roxton, yeah, Roxton.
Yeah, he's basically turning into him, isn't he?
He is. Look, Harambe died in 2016 and was a massive thing on the internet. And so now here in 2019, Elon Musk releases a rap song for Harambe.
I bet his bedroom's decorated and the walls with that sexy gorilla because he likes things that are current, apparently.
All I'm saying is it's like somebody suddenly appearing in like 2050 going, I'm Pickle Rick.
You mean like Ready Player One?
Yes.
Oh, no. My brain just did something I really regret doing.
What?
Because the character who basically instigates the events of Ready Player One, that's basically Elon Musk, isn't it?
Yep.
He's basically that. And what was the other thing that we described him as, other characters related him to? I can't remember. There was a character, somebody who I said in a previous episode who he is basically that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's basically a lot of things because he's insane. Because he's so rich and successful that his grasp on reality is tenuous. And this feels like the sort of thing that somebody in that sort of situation would do to show that they're still relate, and that they're still sort of in touch with like people and what they think about and what they feel.
Yeah. Shall we move on to other people who aren't in touch with what people think and feel? A group of Catholic priests from an evangelical group in northern Poland has recently sparked a heated online debate after staging a controversial protest against occultism.
Can you have a controversial protest against occultism? Occultism isn't exactly like the top 40 charts.
Oh, no. Let me finish the sentence. After staging a controversial protest against occultism, idolatry and sorcery, and the way they did it was by burning various sacrilegious items.
Okay.
Some of the sacrilegious items were traditional masks and idols, the sort of thing, you know, sort of religious-ish objects. Yeah, fine. Others included Harry Potter and Twilight books, and even a Hello Kitty umbrella.
What the hell has Hello Kitty got to do with Nichols? It's basically like the most corporate thing that Japan's ever come up with.
And it's an umbrella.
Yeah, it's just to keep you wet, dry in the room. It's like, I mean, even the, you know, Harry Potter is basically what
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, my brain doesn't want her in there. But J.K. Rowling basically copied all of it from about 4 or 5 20th century, no, or 19th century Welsh novels. She is a hack of the highest order, so I suggest she's got something to do with like occultism is very rich.
Well, I wouldn't say she copied it. I'd say she was heavily influenced.
She copied it.
She was heavily influenced, I'd say. I'm just trying to avoid us getting sued by her.
She copied it.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, influence, copy, you know, it's all a matter of whether you like the person or whether you don't like the person at the end of the day.
But yeah.
Twilight, I totally understand because that is of the devil.
Yeah. The group is called Heaven Foundation, and they posted stuff on Facebook about it. The footage they posted showed African wooden masks, a small Buddhist figure, figurines of elephants, and popular fantasy books being consumed by flames as the priests and a few altar boys watch.
I've got to say, this is really refreshing. Because as a fan of horror and heavy metal and metal,
yeah,
Usually them sort of things are the first things to be blamed for occultism.
Yep.
So it's nice to not be sort of blamed for that sort of stuff anymore.
All no, I can say nice is
that something else is being blamed. That's good.
All I can say is the dark forces of Sanrio have a lot to answer for.
I mean, Judas Priest must be, you know, rolling all over the place laughing.
Probably, yeah.
Picking on us this time. Of course our record doesn't say anything backwards, you idiot.
Meanwhile, across the world, millions of little girls who are Hello Kitty fans are going, what did we do?
Yeah, that's the weird one, though, isn't it?
I know.
I mean, where is the occult connection there?
I don't know.
Occult's very tribal and very basic and pentagrams and pacts and blood and stuff like this.
Do you think it's because they saw... Remember years ago, we had a news story about an American company that was trying to make guns that were more palatable to younger females, so they made the Hello Kitty assault rifle.
It's still not a cult, though, is it?
Yeah, but all I'm saying is maybe they saw a picture of that and decided Hello Kitty was now evil.
Is it just things that they find evil? Or, I don't know, but... Maybe there was like a deep, an old god, an old god of traditional religions that really looks like Hello Kitty. Really, really looks like Hello Kitty.
Basically, what happened with it was the priests convinced their parishioners to clean their homes of such evil items. And their full title isn't Heaven Foundation. Sorry, it's the SMS from Heaven Foundation.
What does that stand for?
You know, SMS, text messages.
Text messages from Heaven's Foundation.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they don't know how technology works.
Yeah. Basically, they posted the event on Facebook along with fiery emojis and a couple of quotes from the Bible.
Bless, they're trying to be contemporary, Anna.
I know.
And blaming Hello Kitty for occultism is just the tip of what's hot now, isn't it?
Yep. And the interesting thing is the general reaction from the public was negative, with many Facebook users accusing the priests of being backwards and pointing out that the books were burned during the Nazi regime as well.
Yeah, this will be great for Hello Kitty, though.
No,
guys, it'll really make them cool with other age groups besides like girls under the age of 11, maybe.
Yeah. Probably I don't not. Know. I honestly don't know how to process the burning of books. It doesn't sit right with me in the first place.
Well, the burning of books doesn't stop them from being printed or reprinted. It's like the most useless task in the world.
I know. Do they realise that books are made from paper, which are made from plants, which grow everywhere?
Which are, if the belief of God is to be trusted, that everything is a creation of God. So they are burning a creation of God.
Yes. Oh no, it's an evil plant.
Well, if it's doing the Triffids, then yeah, it is an evil plant, but I don't think they're burning the Triffids, are they?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, some odd things, some oddities, true oddities to end with, right? We're heading back to Russia. In the Russian city of Krasnoyarsk.
In a Russian city.
Yeah, in a Russian city called Krasnoyarsk, I think that's how you pronounce it, sorry if I got it wrong, they held the country's first ever, I love this, right? This is the best title in the world. The country's first ever amateur, I want you to remember, it's an amateur, right? The country's first ever amateur face-slapping championship.
Oh, to be a professional face-slapper. You know you made it then.
It's the most beautiful championship, isn't it?
Is it just in? Is this like one of those things? Like you say, you mock it, but the British people, you might not know this, international listeners, but in a certain part of the South, there's a tradition every year in which people chase a cheese wheel down a hill.
Oh, never mind that. What about shin kicking?
Yeah, I mean, we have our weird traditions.
Yeah.
Like throwing big logs for no reason.
Oh, God, yeah. But this one, right?
So we can mock other people's traditions.
Oh, no,
we have
no.
Plenty of weird ones ourselves.
It gets better, Rob. It gets better. The reason why it's the amateur face slapping championship, can you guess the reason why?
No.
Because there is an actual professional face slapping championship.
So how does this spa? Is it a sport? I'm assuming
it is technically classed as a sport. Maybe closer to boxing than you think, because so the whole
is it like a fight contest? Because the way I'm picturing it right now is there's two people in the ring. Person A slaps person B, and person B slaps person A, and then they keep on doing it, and one till one person gives up.
Not until one. Well, kind of. Yeah. Basically, you have a podium type thing in between them, and you have two people on either side of the podium. Now there is no weight class for this, right? So you have two people on either side of the podium, and they take turns slapping each other until either one of them gets knocked out or they give up.
That's amazing.
Basically,
it's like those stiff spots in Japanese wrestling where they just slap each other hard and say, "That's not hard enough. Come on, hit me harder."
Yeah,
I want to see this.
The thing is, there are some actual rules. You're only allowed to slap them with your fingers and the upper half of your palm to avoid causing serious injury. The whole point is to try and knock the other person out.
You know the guy who was on the adverts for Tango and back in the day?
Yes.
I reckon he'd be great.
Yeah.
Because that advert campaign, if you're too young to get that reference, it was from You Being Tangoed, in which a guy who was painted from head to toe in orange paint went around slapping people in the ear.
Yeah.
And the advert had to be banned because people were getting perforated eardrums from being slapped in the ear.
Well,
hard as they possibly could.
They do actually have that rule as well. You aren't allowed to target the opponent's temples, ears, or eyes. And those measures are meant to protect competitors. You're only allowed to hit them like across the cheek with the upper half of your palm. But because there's no weight class, right, you could have somebody who weighs like 11 stone going up against somebody who weighs like 25 stone.
Yeah. You see, I think that's the difference between what amateur and professional, is it?
Yes.
There's weight classes in professional.
I don't think there is.
This is what, you know, when there used to be a TV show called Trans World Sport?
Yeah.
Where you had all sorts of, I found out about Gaelic football from that show. And Gaelic football is amazing because it's like a mix between hockey, football and rugby. It's great.
No, that's hurling.
Irish sports are very unique, if you say that.
Yeah, hurling is nasty. Don't play it, ever. Anyone who, listen, people, if anyone ever invites you to play hurling, do not do it. Do not risk your shins and your sanity.
Or kabaddi, because apparently from what Rob says, that's pretty bad too.
Kabaddi's not that bad, just, you know, just bad enough. Hurling is much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I love these little sort of regional sports which only are played in one country, and everyone in the rest of the world says, that's just nuts, what you're doing that, that's terrible.
Oh yeah.
It's like sumo. Sumo, you can look back at the history of sumo all you want, but at the end of the day, all it is two fat people slapping each other and pushing each other. It's ridiculous. But it's wonderful. So thanks for listening. If you did enjoy that episode, there is numerous ways you can engage with the Geek Show to say thank you. There's various levels. You can just, you know, say thank you. Follow us on social media, on Facebook. Search for the Geek Show, you'll find our logo. Join our community. We're really trying to push that and make that go forward. On Twitter at @TGS_TheGeekShow. You can share us with your friends. That's always a nice gesture to do. Alternatively, if you want to put a little bit of money back into it, there's two things you can do. You can head to thegeekshow.co.uk, and if you read one of our movie reviews and you think, I like the sound of that, I'm going to check that out. Click on the box art at the bottom, or the poster at the bottom of the review, and that'll take you over to Amazon. Buy it there. We'll get a little bit of a knockback, and that helps us. Alternatively, go to Patreon, staying on the Geek Show website. There's a little tab, a little image on the right hand side of the page. It says become a patron. Click on that, it'll take you to our page. And then give whatever you feel we deserve, really. Whether that's 50p or 500p. Actually, hang on, that's not a lot of money. Either way, give what you want. But until next time, thank you very much for spending this past hour with us. I have been Bruce P. Gigabyte.
And I've been Rob.
And we will see you next time.
For over 28 years, Aflac has been a champion, donating over $168 million to fight pediatric cancer and blood disorders, including sickle cell disease. This December, Aflac proudly joins 97.1 Wash FM and Children's National Hospital for the annual Wash for Kids Radiothon. Mark your calendars for December 14th and 15th for a heartwarming 14-hour live broadcast where you can join Aflac in their efforts to support the miracle work happening at Children's National. Save the date, tune in, and be a part of something extraordinary with Aflac.